Amen. Is the Lord with us this morning? Is He not faithful? He's faithful, isn't He? So good. It's such a good thing to be here with you today and in the presence of our Lord and with those of like precious faith, of a heart for Jesus. You know, we have nothing to fear. We need to really just put the kibosh on every bit of worry, every bit of anxiety. Amen. You need to forbid it in your mind. Amen. And how many know that anxious thoughts do not come from the Lord? How many know that peace comes from the Lord? He is the author of peace. Amen. He is our peace. And it's the peace of the Lord that will guard your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. So keep the door open. Stay filled. Amen. With the Lord. And you'll be filled with His peace because He is our peace. Hallelujah. How many know the Lord is going to be with you, just like He promised. He's a faithful God and a faithful friend. And remember, it was Jesus who first came to seek out, amen, and to save us. That's right. I'm just so hungry for the presence of the Lord. You know, guys, isn't that what it's all about? You know, if we come into a church, you should experience the presence of God, amen. Hallelujah. If there's no presence there, get out. Amen. Or if God calls you there, amen, call it in. Hallelujah. Amen. But, you know, if we don't have the tangible presence of God, all right, then there's no point. This is all about not just learning about a historical figure, but knowing the true Jesus Christ and knowing the Lord personally through revelation of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Amen. God wants us to know Him. To know Him is to love Him, by the way. You cannot know God and not love God, because God is love. So people that don't really obey God don't really know God. Therefore, they don't really love God. But when we love God, we obey God. Jesus said, if you love Me, obey My commandments. And His commandment is to love. Amen. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't bear false witness because we love. We walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. He's taken that law and He's written it on our hearts, engraved it by the Spirit. Amen. Not the letter, but the Spirit of the Lord. And when you are filled with Him who is life, you have life. When you are possessed by Him who is the truth, you know the truth. And when you know the truth will do what? Set you and make you. Yeah, some people want to argue whether it's set or make. But I think it's tomato, tomato. But it means that Jesus is the one that frees you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, guess what? What's today? Oh, who knew? You got a word of knowledge or something? Or sometimes I need a word of knowledge because I forget, you know. And, yeah. Who, me, forget anything? All right. Let me share something with you. You ready? This is a lighthearted presentation I ran across of what we all think about our moms at different points in our lives. Okay. Of what we all think about our moms at different points in our lives. Okay, you ready for the first one? 4 years of age. 4 years, my mommy can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. 16 years of age, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. 18 years of age, that old woman, she's way out of date. Now we'll move up to 25 years of age. Well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. 45 years of age, wonder what mom would have thought about it. Yeah? 65 years of age. Wish I could talk it over with Mom. Isn't it true that the older we get, as someone once said, the smarter our parents get? I mean, there's no perfect parents, but they've been around a few more years than we have, and they've learned some things, you know, and we need to honor them. We need to appreciate them. Amen. We need to acknowledge their influence in our lives, especially as we get older. Yeah. The Bible tells us we are to honor our parents. Isn't that right? Everybody knows that. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. And you know, when we minister to children, this is one of the most important verses for them. The most important right here. All right? Because this is really the commandment that God gives specifically to children. And children of all ages, by the way. Amen. And what is the promise? Well, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So would you agree our moms should be acknowledged? They should be honored. They should be also encouraged. It's not an easy task, is it? Somebody say amen, ladies, right? So they have an important but also a unique role. And so God designed men and women with specific strengths, abilities, and roles. And I've said it before, but I can't be a mother. I know people are trying to change that today, but you're still not a mother. Amen. Unless you were born biologically female. Somebody say amen. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. For what purpose? Well, first of all, to reproduce after our kind. And to have dominion over the earth realm. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You know, I say this often, but if you try to be somebody you're not, you'll never be who you are. Or you'll never become who you're supposed to become. We can't be anybody except who we are and the way God designed us, the way God made us. And yet the enemy hates God's creation because we were made in his image and he's in rebellion. So he wants to pervert what God has made. And remember this, women are actually a part of man. Isn't that right? So instead of saying, honey, say rib. I don't think that would go over very good, would it? But we are the same substance, are we not? If woman came out of man, right, then we're the same substance. That means we're equal in value. Yes, women are actually equal to men now, but there's a distinction. And it has to do with roles and responsibilities. Amen? There's certain functions that a woman can do that man can't, and vice versa. So in Genesis 2:21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now what? Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Same substance. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So the Bible is very clear and it speaks to the distinctions, every aspect of motherhood. Conception being one. pregnancy, right? Pain of childbirth, nursing, even how to instruct and discipline children. And the fact that God would use a human mother to bring his son into the world has bestowed great honor upon motherhood. Would you agree? And so Jesus set an example for all of us to follow by the provision that he made for his mother Mary and John, his earthly mother. John 19:25, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, John, that would be John, right? He said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." He said to the disciple, "Here's your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus made provision, did he not? He took care of his mom. God expects us, by the way, to take care of our aging parents to the best of our ability. And Jesus enforced the fifth commandment when he told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 15 and verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother.' And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death." This is under the law. It's pretty severe. And verse 5, "But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.'" Yeah. Sounds like a religious spirit, doesn't it? "And in this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition." So what was Jesus doing? He was reminding his critics that the law commanded men to honor their parents, including supporting them financially if necessary. But the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, right, and many others, did not want to spend money for the support of their aged parents. So they devised a tradition by which to avoid this responsibility. This was actually not in the Word of God. This was a commandment of men that they introduced to excuse themselves from their responsibility to look after their aged parents. So they would nullify the Word of God by reciting this man-made commandment, so they could excuse themselves, at least in their own minds, from any responsibility towards their parents. Now, I realize that many of the parents are self-sufficient. They've been able to take care of things and store up and provide for themselves in their old age. But that's not always the case, amen? And as the children of our parents, we need to be responsible, amen, to make sure that they are taken care of, just like they made sure we were taken care of. Somebody say amen. So the selfless acts of love demonstrated by most mothers reflects how they were created in the image of God. And it reveals to this world that God himself loves and sacrifices like a mom does. So the sacrificial acts of a mom for her family and children point to an important character trait of God. And that we see really is God's agape love. Remember, that's that sacrificial, self-giving love. Amen. And so God created male and female different. And he designed them both to fulfill specific roles. And when we try to mix that up or change that up, what happens is dysfunction. So he designed these two genders to represent all that he is. Because remember, woman came out of man, so she is a part of man. And so together they are a fuller expression of who God is. We were made in the image of God. So men reflect one dimension of God, and women reflect another dimension of God. And it takes both of them together to give us a true glimpse of the nature of God himself. So example, men, right, in Scripture, we're to provide, right, for our families. All right? We're also to protect our families, right? And man is also considered the head of the home or the wife. Amen? So that means you're to be also the priest of your home. All right? And but whenever we begin to tamper again with God's divine order, dysfunction always follows. A woman provides and protects as the father does, just not always in the same way. Now, I had an example here of Mama Bear, right? If you don't want to mess with a mother when she's got her cubs, amen, with the cubs. And, you know, there's been some examples, amen, where women had superhuman strength when it came to defending their children. Mm-hmm. So there's times when women need to take matters in their own hands, amen. If there's not a man or a husband there to take care of them, they're going to protect their children, amen. So there are similarities there, but there are different roles. Again, a woman has more of a nurturing, nesting instinct, if you will. They're more concerned about the things that are happening around the home and around the children, amen. And it's interesting that Jesus and I occasionally go out to shop, and there's a bench that's out by the door there. And it's called the pouting bench. And that's where you'll find the husband. So sometimes we go there and we lick each other's wounds as the wife is in there shopping, because women are just, they're paying attention to taking care of the nest and the home and things like that. So when they look at clothes, for example, tell me, guys, if you can feel my pain here at all, but it's like, man, they're taking their time and they're looking at every garment, you know, and the whole rack, and then off to the next rack, and nothing got taken. You know, men, we tend to have a tendency to go in and say, I need a shirt, there's one, you know, and out the door we go, right? But that's because we are designed differently. We have different priorities and goals and a way of seeing things. And, you know, it's just naturally that way. There are distinctions, and God made us distinct. However, once again, we came from the same source. Bone of bone, flesh of flesh. All right? I'm talking about the natural here. And so someone once said, and I use this a lot, but the man may be the head of the home, but the wife or mother is the heart. Isn't that true? Now, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, here's some instructions to the older women in the church and concerning the younger mothers. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to what? Love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Discreet means self-controlled. Chaste means pure. Homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So this is God's divine order in the home. Amen. That in 1 Corinthians 11:3, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So husbands are instructed not to wait to be loved by the wife, but to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. Amen. And gave himself for her, Ephesians 5:25. So we need to model this in every area of our lives, because we are setting an example for our children by the way that we conduct ourselves within the family. Would you agree? Moms doing what they're supposed to do, men, amen, fathers doing what they're supposed to do, working together as a team, understanding that they are equal in value but have a different responsibility. Amen. Just because somebody has authority does not mean that they're better than you. You work for a boss, all right? Doesn't mean they're better than you. They have a different responsibility, all right? And so it is in the home. And if a woman will understand that there's actually safety, there's protection under the covering, if she will keep herself under the protection, amen, or the covering of her husband, and that the husband will love his wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, then she will know that she is safe, that she is protected. That's God's order. And when a woman knows that she's being taken care of, amen, she's being honored, she's being, right, protected, then she will willingly want to come under your headship. Come on, guys. Amen? That's how it works. We're commanded as men to love our wives. Amen? And the wives are supposed to willingly, as a choice of their will, an act of their will, submit themselves to their husbands. Now listen, as unto the Lord. Whatever we do needs to be as unto the Lord. Sometimes you may have to work for somebody that you don't necessarily like too much. But when you work your job, you should work your job as unto the Lord and not unto men. Understanding that the Lord will reward you, amen, for your good behavior because you represent Him. And you can bring honor or dishonor to the Lord by your behavior. And especially if your employer is harsh or unfair towards you, but you handle it correctly, God will reward you for that. Sometimes we're going to be tested. And I don't want to get off into the weeds here, but sometimes you're going to get offended in church too. People are going to say something offensive to you. But God's not looking at what they said, but He's looking at your response. Not so much as what they said, but your response. Do you react or do you respond in a godly manner? You see, sometimes we're tested this way. There are a lot of people that don't attend fellowship meetings anymore because somebody hurt their feelings somewhere along the line. And they took up that offense and said, understanding that it was an opportunity for them to be promoted by overcoming and passing the test. Instead, they got mad. They got angry. And they held on to a grudge. And now they see everything through that lens of offense. So now I'm going to the next assignment or the next church. Oh, sure enough, I'm running into the same problem over there. Why? Because you never dealt with the problem that you left. Because God wanted you to learn how to forgive. Just like God forgave us, He wants us to also forgive one another. That doesn't mean you submit yourself to abuse. It means that you respond according to the will of God in every situation. And Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. That's pretty severe, would you agree? So, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Jesus demonstrated true love for us. He gave Himself for us, did He not? At the cross, laid down His life. And we are considered, amen, a type, if you will, of a bride to a bridegroom. We are being prepared as a church to be holy, to be pure, amen, to be presented to Christ in that day without spot, without blemish, amen, without wrinkle, one translation says. God is looking, amen, for a holy church, a holy bride, and He's working in us. Amen. We need to cooperate with God. How many agree it's always easier just to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Don't be like the stubborn horse or mule that has to be bridled. Amen. Hallelujah. I spent enough time doing that in the past. But a mom's role is difficult. And it's an important role. And I know what my wife has to deal with me. So. But by the grace of God, we're together now over 40 years. Yeah. I know I didn't look a day over 80, but yeah, we've been married for 40 years. But God's kept us together. I want to tell you, before Jesus, amen, we were fighting like cats and dogs. And even as Christians, amen, you can have some rocky times, amen. You got to really guard yourself against that. And I always counsel couples, I say, listen, pray together. Amen. Pray for one another. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. And don't go to bed angry. Deal with it before you go to bed. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We can do all things through Christ. Now, every year I like to mention this, even to honor my mother. who is still alive. My mom and dad are still alive. They're in their upper 80s. But my mother once gave me a booklet entitled A Mother's Love. And every year I like to look back at this. In this booklet, it contains a section where my mother filled in the blanks. And here are a few things she wrote. Number one, you ready for this? A message I gave my children often. Behave yourself. Be a good boy. It meant, notice it said often. A message she gave us often. Behave yourself. Be a good boy. Now, number two, something I wish I told them. Hear this, parents. Your father and I are glad we had you. The best advice I gave my children, she said, make the world a better place for others. And the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. And this reminds me of this verse in Matthew 16:26. Jesus said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Guys, you have one shot at it. You have one life to live. Let me give you some advice. If you're not doing it already, start living for Jesus. Because we all have our day before the throne. It's coming. Every knee will bow to him. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be reconciled, be made right with God. Amen. And to live for the eternal purposes of the Lord and storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. Don't waste the precious time God gave you. Live for Jesus. Love others. Bless. Serve. Amen. One another. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God and do it as unto the Lord. God is giving us an opportunity. He's being patient. Would you agree? He's not willing that anyone should perish. But he's giving people an opportunity to be saved, to get right with him. Today, God calls us to be reconciled. If you've been away from the Lord, you're distant from the Lord, recommit your life. Give your life back to Jesus. Amen. It's the best decision you can make. So I want to encourage moms, mothers. Listen, my brother Bruce, he's my biological brother back there. We put our mom through a lot of difficulties growing up. And some of you that had boys, you probably know what I'm talking about too. Or even daughters. But my mom never gave up on us. And her prayers availed, I know. Even after your children leave the nest, don't give up. Stand in the gap. God hears your prayers. In Galatians 6:9, you hear this all the time. Life verse of mine, let us not become weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And it's so true that a mom has the ability to make or break a home because you are the heart of the home. And let me say this, parents, we cannot afford to turn the training of our kids over to the school system or solely to the church programs, our kids' church. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So God gave us our children. He gave the child to you, and the child is your responsibility. So keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit, sowing into your children, sowing seeds of faith, of hope and love, of expectation. Amen? Never give up. Never quit. Choose your seeds carefully. Because what you plant will eventually grow. Bless your children. Pray God's blessing over them. There's a number 6. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. God gives us that authority to lay our hand upon our children and pronounce a blessing over them. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you, smile upon you with His favor, and give you peace. You know, invoke blessings over your children. Amen. Don't constantly just be nagging them for what they're doing wrong, but give them positive encouragement as well for what they do right. I want to just interject this because I remember the bishop came a few years ago, and I said this last week, I think, but he brought a message that said, what's right with the church? What is right with the church? Because you can hear all kinds of messages about what's wrong with the church. Amen. Why don't we take a look at what's right with the church? Amen. God is cleaning up the mess. Of course there's going to be a mess because that's how we come to God, as a mess. And God cleans up the mess. Amen. So you're going to find a mess in the church. But what we need to do is celebrate what God has done, what God has accomplished, what God has transformed, what God has made new, what is good, what is right about the church. Come on. What we sow is what we're going to reap. A dedicated mother, you know, even wife or grandmother like Lois, who was Timothy's grandmother, was Eunice, and his mother and grandmother. They had vested in Pastor Timothy when he was a boy. You know, he had known the scriptures that was able to save him, you know, from a child. So he had a godly mother and grandmother that had sown into his life when he was young. And again, this goes back to Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. That means when he's young, amen. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. I believe that some seeds were sown in us, would you agree, when we were young? Somebody, somewhere had been speaking into our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And the quicker we grow up, the better it is. And we realize, amen, God's way is always the best way. There are consequences to sin, would you agree? And I want to say this because I'm all for Mother's Day. But how many know honoring your mother should not be once a year? Amen. See you next year, Mom. Yeah. But it should be something we do as an ongoing thing, amen. Pay attention. Amen. I Jesuk and I had worked in a assisted living facility. We'd managed it for several years. And I've done a lot of work with nursing homes in different capacity, but I see so many parents that and elderly, you know, where the kids could be more involved in their lives, but they're not. And they like just dump them there and they leave and they go off and do their own thing. And some of them are so lonely, you know, and feeling forsaken. And that's not honoring your parents. Amen. I know sometimes distance is an issue. It is for us. But praise God, we have phones. Amen. We can call. We can make a call and say, hi, how's it going? You know, check on each other. You know, there's no age limit, by the way, attached to the fifth commandment to honor your mother and your father and your mother. And so honor means to prize or highly respect as to great worth or value. To prize, highly respect as to great worth or value. That's what honor means. So then, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen, amen. Let's do it, amen. Let's honor our moms. Amen. Honor your wife. Your wives, amen. Honor to whom honor is due. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, I finish with this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We have a day. All of us do. Some people say, well, I'm looking forward to that mansion in heaven. I'm looking forward to a body without pain, without sickness. But I tell you what, the most important thing that we need to be looking for is to see Jesus in that day smiling and saying, well done. That is a reward, amen, worth going after. Hallelujah. I want to live my life for Him. How about you? Let's commit ourselves once again to the Lord. Amen. And to the will of God for our lives. To live out, to practice what we hear. Amen. How many know that the gospel is practical? Amen. What you do in the natural is connected to the spiritual. So let us love one another. Let us honor one another. Let us look for ways to build up one another in the faith, to encourage one another. Amen. Look for opportunities to share the love of the gospel with others. Amen. Look for opportunities to pray for people. Amen. To pray for healing, for deliverance. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, I want you to come up. Amen. And we're going to agree for God to meet your need today. Hallelujah. How many know He is able? He's able to do exceedingly above and beyond anything we could ask or think. Amen. Far above it. Hallelujah. He's great God. He's a great Father, and He's the lover of our soul. And remember, we have been made distinct, unique, but together we make the whole. Amen. Men and women together express the full heart of God. Amen. In the earth. And we have the privilege of being that ambassador, to being that representative of the kingdom government of heaven here on the earth. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You today for the Word of God. I thank You for, Lord, Your instruction to us. I pray, Lord God, that You will sow this into our hearts with understanding, that You will seal it there. I pray that You transform our minds, Lord, renew our minds, and, Lord, direct our steps, we pray, each day, Lord, that we may walk and live out the will of God for our lives. Father, we want to live for You. We want to glorify You in everything we do and say. So God, grant us the grace, the power of Your Holy Spirit to live, Lord God, the life You've called us to live before the watching world, that Your name may be glorified in all things. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Happy Mother's Day.